Our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 and 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O people, remember how the king Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened to Sittim of Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
Our second reading today comes from Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" The word of God for the people of God. Now, it's fair to say, I am not Tip or Chammy. But I will do my best in their absence. So, 6 weeks ago, we got to learn a little bit about the history of Mother's Day. So I think it's only right that I begin by discussing the history of both the holidays we celebrate today. The first, and the simpler explanation of the two, is Father's Day. Father's Day was first conceptualized by Sonora Dodd in 1909. It was first celebrated in 1910, and it slowly grew in popularity until then-President Nixon named it a recurring national holiday in 1972. Dodd was inspired by Anna Jarvis, daughter of Ann Jarvis, not confusing, I know, who was one of the founders of Mother's Day. Anna had celebrated the life of her mother at a Mother's Day service in 1908, and when Dodd caught word of it, she got an idea that she would have a similar service for her father, who was also a single parent who survived the Civil War. Dodd thought it was only right that if there was a day celebrating mothers, there ought to be one celebrating fathers as well. The second holiday we celebrate today is slightly more nuanced and has a bit more history behind it, that holiday being Juneteenth. Juneteenth, or Jubilee Day as it was originally called, is a celebration and commemoration of the enactment of the Emancipation Proclamation in Galveston, Texas, by General Gordon Granger on June 19, 1865, following the surrender of the Army of the Trans-Mississippi on June 2, 1865. It's worth noting that this surrender took place nearly 8 weeks after the war ended at Appomattox Courthouse, and the proclamation didn't take effect in Texas until almost 3 years after it had been ordered. Now then, While disparate celebrations occurred across the state of Texas the following year, the generally accepted first Jubilee Day was held by the Freedmen's Bureau in 1867 in the city of Austin, and it became a mainstay of their public events come 1872, when 10 acres of land were purchased in Houston as celebration grounds, today's Emancipation Park. Then, in the 1890s, the more familiar name for the holiday, Juneteenth, started to take hold. And in 1898, when the Booker T. Washington Park was established in Limestone County, Texas, the name had stuck. Celebrations of Juneteenth waxed and waned through the years as Jim Crow, the Great Depression, and the Civil Rights Movement pulled attention away from the holiday and put the focus on everything from the fight for freedoms to simply surviving. Legislation to recognize the date was first introduced in 1996, and then, finally, after a decades-long battle, Juneteenth became the newest federal holiday, the first since Martin Luther King Jr. Day, on June 17, 2021. Now that I've established some background and a sufficient number of you are asleep, I feel comfortable moving on to my main point. Now, some of you may remember the sermon from Mother's Day, and if you don't, that's fine. The services are recorded. Mother's Day was first conceptualized as a day to celebrate and promote peace following the end of the Civil War. Regardless of whether you remember that or not, I think it's fair to say we've drifted from that holiday's original goals. I also think it's fair to say that the establishment of Father's Day has pretty well buried the lead, to the point that if it wasn't for Tammy's sermon, I'm not sure I would have ever known the historical backdrop for all the yard work my mother asks me to do each year. Now, I don't want to assault Father's Day as an institution, that'd make the barbecue later today a little awkward, but I do think it's important to be willing to admit when we fall short and figure out where we strayed from the path. To me, it seems a bit like a Robert Frost situation, and when confronted with diverging paths, we opted for the one that seemed like an easier walk, or we simply plopped ourselves down by the side of the road on a comfortable patch of moss, since we had come so far down the road already. Who's to blame us? After all, Mother's Day was meant to promote peace in our country, and there hasn't been an armed conflict on United States soil since 1943. But how peaceful can we be when school curriculums include active shooter training? What about overseas? How have we embodied peace outside our borders? What of Juneteenth? How free do our neighbors feel when going to church or the grocery store requires risk analysis? How committed have we been to this path of racial justice? How many times have we left our friends and neighbors of color to walk that road alone, thinking we've come far enough already? Well, what happens then? When the 13th Amendment was passed, we rested, and Jim Crow blocked the way. When the Civil Rights Acts were passed, we rested, and the path became infested with thorns and violence. When former President Barack Obama was elected, we rested, and our neighbors were left to walk past signposts reading Charleston, Buffalo. Now, I may have used the word we slightly liberally there, but I think we've spent long enough in our roadside sanctuary, and I think it's past time that we start walking again. In our first scripture reading today, the prophet Micah rails against a rebellious Israel, claiming they have lost their way and that God's judgment is at hand. Yet, despite the gravity of such an accusation, the remedy seems quite tame. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Indeed, throughout the book of Micah, there's this push and pull between admonishment and encouragement, much as the Lord balances his judgment with mercy. Or, put in Micah's words, who is a God like unto thee that taketh away iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? He retaineth not his wrath forever, because mercy pleases him. Which, if you de-Geneva it a bit, basically means God tells us when we're wrong, but is happy to forgive us when we've learned our lesson, much like any father would. In our second scripture reading today, we cover the story of Pentecost again, but in some ways, what matters more is the story right before that. Do you remember what that is? Not to bleed a fed goat, but just reminding you again that services are recorded. I'm fine reviewing material with you as long as you're prepared for the exam. The answer is the ascension. Jesus goes up into heaven and instructs the disciples to keep spreading the good word and doing good works. And what do the disciples do? Sit around until Pentecost hits. At which point, the Spirit, with a capital S, intercedes. Then comes the more familiar part. Upstairs room, rushing wine, new wind. The early church gets kickstarted and Acts launches into the real meat and potatoes or fish and loaves of the rest of the book. Now, suffice to say, when God wants something done, he's not particularly subtle. From great floods to pillars of fire in the wilderness, he's more direct than most fathers are. In Micah, it was a threat of an Assyrian and Babylonian invasion to push Israel to repent. In Acts, the Holy Spirit took the form of a rushing wind and tongues of fire to give the disciples the kick they needed. Now, I know some pretty sound sleepers, but I don't know of a white noise machine out there that could handle all that. It's important to note that in both these stories, however, great things had already been accomplished. Despite the fact that the kingdom was divided, in Micah's time, there was an Israel. The people of God had been taken out of their slavery in Egypt and had made a home for themselves. Surely that's deserving of respite. And the disciples? Their teacher and friend had just conquered sin and death and had gone to join his Father in heaven. Seems like some pretty good Sundays to me. Certainly gooder than the Friday. So what was there left to do? But faith is a lifelong journey, and not something to be set aside at the first opportunity. It's been a while since church school, but I don't remember Jesus telling Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, but once the scaffolding's done, you can head out." Or Paul passing letters to his secretary once the Romans started writing him. I'm not saying not to be proud of your accomplishments. It is Pride Month, after all. And I was supposed to be celebrating the gifts of men today. But it's what we do with our accomplishments that really matters. So I'd invite you not to rest on your laurels, but to cast them alongside the palms. Let us have our works pave the way for our Lord until he comes again. A hopeful, verdant causeway to lift up tired feet and wearied hearts. Let us use each step to invigorate the next, each new friend as motivation to find another, each shared burden an invitation to lighten our hearts. After all, what does the Lord require of us? And if he is in the midst of them, where two or three are gathered together in his name, then when we walk with our neighbors, we walk with God. So, friends, let's walk.